safely. Hopefully,
please stand. As long as it's safe or legal to do so. There's what do you call them? Like a back roller in the house?
Foam roller thing?
Foam roller.
Yeah, thank you.
And I didn't want to go for a walk 2 evenings ago. I was like, you know what, I'll do a few stretches. That'll make me feel like I've done some exercise. My arse is sore since then. What if? I didn't even know you could stretch it.
I've never successfully used a foam roller. I don't know.
They're not for grace and decorum anyways.
Right.
We'll have a seat. This is Blender Bingo, where we come up with ideas and then we try and make something out of them. And this one went from, we'll make some more fake ads again, to maybe we'll make fake ads coming from people's perspective. So sometimes you hear ads like, I'm a handyman, I can do jobs around your house, I can mow the lawn, please call me 087 sa 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 sa. And then I seen a tweet from a guy called Dara Mack, and it was about a Cavan Man. I was like, what about if we made an advertisement for a Cavan Man and his abilities? Totally stereotypical, but what would that exactly sound like? Are you no good at haggling? Do you find that you're always taken for a fool? Then you need a Cavan Man. Investing in a Cavan Man pays for itself within 6 months, guaranteed. The Cavan Man becomes the tight hooer you could never be. Let the Cavan Man do the legwork for you. In insurance.
Now, for an Audi A4, and with your experience, you would be looking at €1,500.
€1,500? Jesus Christ, now, you'll have to come down a fair bit on that now, hey.
That's the best I can do over the phone.
Well, don't make me come through you on phone. You may cut that €1,500 in half.
Sir, may I remind you that these calls are recorded?
Well, ma'am, may I remind ye that you're dealing with no fool. You're dealing with a Cavan Man, and he may drop you on €1,500 fairly lively. In volunteering.
We have you down for 2 hours bag packing for the club this weekend. Is that okay, Michelle?
She'll do 10 minutes, and not a minute more.
But I'm trying to talk with Michelle.
Well, you're talking with a Cavan Man now, I'm telling you. She'll do 10 minutes, not a minute more.
The Cavan Man is even programmed to interact with kids.
Mammy, Daddy.
You'll deal with the Cavan Man now, kids.
Can we get an Xbox for Christmas?
Well, kids, here's the thing. Santa may get down COVID for Christmas, so you'd better limit your expectations, so you should.
But maybe Mammy and Daddy could get the Xbox for us instead?
You should be happy getting a box of cornflakes in the pandemic. Never mind an Xbox. Have with you now. Run out there and play with some good clean dirt.
Order today and get the Cavan Man adjustable panel and free app for your iOS or Android device. Customize your Cavan Man through the app to tell pure lies or the harsh truth, depending on the situation you're in.
Hello, Father. How you doing? You're looking for donations for the church, right, Father? Sure wasn't Jesus himself a carpenter. Give him a ring.
Don't delay. Order your Cavan Man today. Couple of points to make on that. Santa's immune from coronavirus, as well as Mrs. Claus and all the elves. Santa will come this Christmas, hell or high water. Don't listen to the Cavan Man. Number two, they don't actually talk like that. It's very stereotypical.
That had to be said.
And point three, that is stereotypical right there. Cavan Man is as tight as hell. But is there as much truth into it as we are led to believe? Staying in the country between now and 2021, well,
Carbonara.
Let us find you a carbonara in a location that you will be. Don't you just hate when you go to a new place and you go looking for a carbonara and you can't find one? Well, you need David Fanula's Carbonara Map.
This is a service, a public service, particularly, as you said, as we veer towards the winter months, prime carbonara eating season.
You got to build up on those carbs. We won't have money for heating, so we'll fill our bodies with pasta and we won't feel the cold. This is developed and developed and developed. iRadio.ie/carbonara map.
What? Like what?
iRadio.ie/
Oh God.
Carbonara map.
Right.
Let me read you what I've wrote on the website.
Go on.
There's not much explaining on the origins of this map. If you're like us, and you'll find yourself in a new location wondering, where around here does a really good carbonara? That's where Dave and Fionnuala's carbonara map comes in. It's an actual Google map, so you can just click on where people have recommended a good carbonara. So there's Scirocco's in Tullamore. Dave Duke personally recommends. You hit directions and it will bring you straight to the carbonara on Dave and Fionnuala's carbonara map.
I applaud you if you got involved, first of all, in telling Dave the locations of some good carbonaras.
Wait, this is a good bit.
Okay.
Coca-Cola, carbonara. Sorry, go on.
Question.
Yes.
Approximately how long did it take you to get that map up and running?
25 minutes.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. See, me being on the slightly technophobic side wasn't sure, you know, how long you would have to put into something like that. It looks good. I am very intrigued to work my way through it. I've often said, you know, a food tour of Ireland would be my ideal holiday. So this could be the starting point for that.
Carbonara map. Dave and Fionnuala's carbonara map. iRadio.ie/map. Carbonara map is where you get it. And of course, we'll take suggestions for the rest of the year. Let's go touring. Let's get carbonara. Big Phil Hogan, your mission is as follows. Travel to a golf and dinner event in Galway. You're currently in
Kilkenny.
Please choose your transport. You have selected
self-driven automobile.
Is this choice wise? You have selected
yes.
Choose your route. May I suggest
Kilkenny to Galway direct.
You have selected
no.
Big Phil, your phone is ringing. May I suggest
hands-free kit.
You have selected
no.
You are about to enter a county under restriction. May I suggest
not entering Kildare.
You have selected
no.
The Gardaí wants you to stop. You have selected
stop.
Congratulations, Big Phil. You have been awarded
Gardaí discretion.
Proceed to your safe house to collect your boxers and papers. May I suggest
staying in your safe house and not going to Galway.
You have selected
no.
May I suggest you reconsider that decision? You have selected
no. I must play the golf.
Bonus level, bonus level. Big Phil play golf. Put ball in hole, win big.
Swing, swing, swing. Put ball in hole. Put ball in hole. Swing, swing, swing. You win, you win, you win. A George Foreman grill.
Big Phil, there is a dinner in the function room. You and 80 other guests are to be fed in the hotel function room with a partition down the middle. Do you believe that this dinner complies with the regulations? You have selected
yes.
Really, Big Phil?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Big Phil, you have been caught. Your buddies are resigning and losing whips. You have selected
no apology.
Big Phil, the entire nation is livid. You have selected
no apology.
Big Phil, the pressure's on. The Taoiseach an Tánaiste suggests an apology. You have selected
apologise.
Big Phil, the apology has come a little too late. There are growing calls for your resignation. You have selected
don't resign.
Do you want to exit the game at this point, Big Phil? You have selected
yes, save game.
Big Phil, this is your progress report. Cons:
damaged personal reputation. People of Ireland livid. Golf society disbanded. Government credibility rocked. Your political position is in grave danger.
Pros:
you have acquired one George Foreman grill.
But right now, we are on a nationwide tour of people who need foghorns. Let's start in the Midlands with Ian in Westmeath, or Alan in Westmeath.
I need a horn.
Jack in Donegal, do you need a horn?
I need a horn!
Jack has a bad dose of the need of the horn. Julius in Westport.
Lads, I need me a foghorn, please. Go on. It'd be so nice of you. Cheers.
Julius with the more polite approach. Nathan and Cavan.
I need a horn, so I do.
Also quite polite. Rachel.
I need a horn.
Deciding to sing it. Sean and Kildare.
A horn.
What do you want, Sean?
A horn.
Okay, Sean, let's see what we can do. Siobhan and Sligo.
I need a horn.
Very quick one.
I need a horn.
Tamo, what do you want?
I really need a horn.
Who is speaking with?
Hi, it's Natalie here.
Natalie, how are you keeping?
Not too bad, yourself?
Not too bad. Where are you and what are you at, if those aren't personal questions?
I'm in Donegal. I'm just down in Carrigart here.
Carrigart, don't I know it well? Only a stone's throw away from Nadunov that I haven't visited in too long.
Yeah, well, I'm shining down here, so it is.
Is it?
Yeah, it sure is. I'm right in my shorts here.
Donegal, I think, just has its own weather system. I don't think you should pass any heed to Met Aaron's warnings or forecasts at all. You just have your own weather.
Yeah, definitely. It was raining at one and the sun's shining now.
Thank you very much. Natalie is our reporter in the ground in Carrigart in North Donegal. Tell me this, would you be in the market for a foghorn?
I would love a foghorn.
Now, we have to go through some terms and conditions, just that we're all clear. Now, do you promise that as soon as we give you the foghorn, that we are no longer responsible for the actions of the foghorn?
That is 100%, no problem at all.
Perfectly. That is great. That is one part of T's and C's signed. Also, do you agree not to use the foghorn for annoying people or putting it in people's ears and or possibly causing tinnitus? You know, we don't want any damage. Do you accept that you won't do that? We just want to hear it from you.
Yes, I accept that I won't do that.
Thank you very much. And finally, can you impersonate a foghorn?
Can I impersonate the foghorn?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a shot.
Please do. Natalie in Donegal, visiting Carrigart, your impersonation of a foghorn, please. Would you like a second attempt?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Give us one more. Natalie, you've got yourself a foghorn! Natalie, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Have a great weekend.
You too, thank you.
Got a mila mahagat. Natalie put under pressure, but she delivered when it mattered most. Another foghorn. That's only three we've given away, and I have a drawer full of them at home, but we cannot be fluhuluk with them. They are precious property. They're in big demand, and they are a sacred resource. I have found my new favourite Chinese, and I haven't even eaten out of there yet. It is in Derry. Our very own Sharon Linsky is in Derry this week. We'll speak about that later, but I would like her to go and verify that this is the real deal, a real place. The rice bowl in Derry. They're using Facebook in a different way. They're not saying, oh, come and get a spice box, it's £5 today, so on and so forth. They are giving us blow-by-blow customer updates and some of the rows that they've had with customers, like the one I mentioned about pineapple. They say the customer is always right. How can this customer be right? Customer ordered sweet and sour chicken Cantonese style with no vegetables. Customer received order and the phone in the takeaway started hopping straight away. Customer said, I specifically asked for no vegetables and there is pineapple in my order. I replied to her on the phone, the pineapple is a fruit. So she asked me if I was trying to be smart. And then she said, you won't be so smart, my husband calls down.
Oh, wow.
I don't care if your husband calls here or not. A pineapple is a fruit. I'll tell your husband that day long if he calls here. What's he going to do? Beat me up until I say a pineapple is a vegetable? Ooh, I better hide. Signed off, Mr. Chang in the Rice Bowl Dairy.
You know, there's obviously a lot of public relations and customer appeasement that goes on when you're running a business, but you cannot back down on claiming that pineapple is not a fruit. Like, it is a fruit.
Mr. Chang is just stating a matter of fact, and he will fight to the death on Facebook to uphold his point.
Is this going to come back on us now where it turns out, much like, so the in the opposite way of things, that tomato is actually a fruit? Is someone going to come back to us and be like, well, actually,
well, if they do,
is pineapple a vegetable?
We'll just ring Mr. Chang and he will fight them on the phone. This is the one that caught my attention. And it's stuff we don't think about. Those who have never worked in the service industry or haven't worked in it in a few years. Things that customers do that just wreck your head. Every single day this happens and you go, not again. Like the whole tap thing and the conversation. Oh, isn't it mad you can tap and you can never find the money going out. First week when tap came in, that conversation was grand. 6 months later, they've heard it all. This is what made me think of that. When you phone the Chinese to order, please have the order that you're going to place written down or memorized like a normal customer would. Do not ring and to place an order and say, hold on, I don't know what I want, and then proceed to shout up the stairs, Mickey, what do you want from the Chinese? Sarah, what do you want from the Chinese? Now I'm listening to a conversation involving three people. Today is not the day. Please share for educational purposes. Have your order ready before you phone or just click shop now. Yours truly, Mr. Chang from the Rice Bowl Dairy.
Couldn't disagree with the word that said there. Can I make a mention and wonder if anyone else is in the same boat of the level of stress that you feel when you're the one responsible for putting in the group order?
I get you.
Over, that is a level of stress that just, it sends your anxiety levels through the roof. Trying to remember, especially if one of them has fecked off somewhere and you're like, well, do they want satay? What do they want? Do they want a drink? Any special sauces being ordered? Very stressful.
You can look this up for yourself. Just search the Rice Bowl Dairy. You'll find all the statuses and the rants. But I'm sure there are many that would agree with Mr. Chang. Customers annoying the people trying to serve them, but they're not highlighted enough. This has been pitched to you. Let us know what you think of it. We're pitching it directly to RTE. Need a TV programme? Then we are your people. On Radio Thelofy Sharon in the winter of 2020, we look at the piss-poor PR moves that had jaws drop on the floor quicker than a slice of toast falling off your plate, buttered side down.
Well, you see, that poor Flynn was so out of touch, he thought his explanation would bring sympathy on his plight trying to run his ship.
I get, give or take, it works out at about, with expenses, $140,000 a year, and I pay 30.3% tax on that. So it's about a net $100,000. And out of that $100,000, I run a home in Dublin, Castlebar, and Brussels. I want to tell you something. Try it sometime when you have a couple of cars and three houses and three homes and a few housekeepers. And I want to tell you and everything else. But remember, it's a well-paid job.
It is widely agreed that the interview was the beginning of the end of his political career.
Well, this is just a classic example of just not shutting up. And what's funny about this particular interview with Vincent Brown is that Bernard Durkin, TD for Kildare North, just wouldn't shut up.
Now, Bernard,
secondly,
stop.
And secondly,
stop,
if he pretends to have information
stop,
as to what took place,
Bernard,
he's wrong as well.
Stop.
But the next
stop,
point about it is
stop,
this.
Bernard,
we have all been stopped.
Bernard,
we have
stop,
all been stopped.
Just stop.
We have all been
just stop, stopped. Bernard. You're,
hold on
stop.
A
no, no, I won't hold it on that. No, you've had
hold
enough
on
now.
A
I have to say, what grasped my attention the most was the fact that he just wouldn't shut up.
Interviewers over the
please
years,
shut
including
up.
With you, Vincent.
Yeah, please shut
it.
Up.
I myself am a firm believer that if you as a politician have to bring up a trampoline to make an argument, you're losing.
Are children being on trampolines? Is an inherently risky thing for them to be
doing? But are we comparing that,
doing?
Minister, to a global pandemic, to a virus that kills people? It's not the same as playing sports, really, is it?
Donnelly then brings in the roads to double down.
Well, driving cars, people die in the roads. Lots of people die in the roads. Like,
all he was missing from the holy trinity of comparisons was the frozen urine from a Boeing 737 falling from the sky, smashing through the roof of your house and killing you in the bed.
This winter on RTE, the piss-poor PR moves that shocked the nation. Just one caveat on ourselves. We need a catchier, punnier title.
Yeah, it's hard to... Yeah, but I think you summed it up well now. Because they were piss poor PR. I have to whisper that in case my mammy's listening.
Maybe we just go with that. But we definitely would be open for producers and contributors to our documentary / TV show we're pitching to RTE.
Yeah, what moments did we miss? What absolutely cringe-worthy interviews, PR disasters? Please let us know.
You know where to get us, and we'll credit you as a producer. As promised, I know you can't see this, but you can imagine it. That, what you're hearing, is my school diary from 2009 to 2010. Myena College, Bundoran, County Donegal. And I have some notes I'd like to share with you today. Pick a week and I have a note.
Sure, can we go to... I'm going to guess that you didn't get too many notes in the first week of the academic year. So let's...
Well, I could surprise you.
Can we maybe head into October? Were things starting to decline by then?
No need. 14th of September.
Okay. You're 14.
No Irish homework done. As David's class tutor, an Irish teacher, I hope this is a once-off occurrence and will have all homework and assignments done in future. And in my best Morgan Freeman voice, it wouldn't be the last time.
Not a one-off occurrence.
Pick another
by
week.
Any stretch. We'll go on 3 weeks from there, will we?
3 weeks. Don't make me go 3 weeks. There's one from October.
Yeah.
David was disruptive in class, short and sweet to the point, and I forged my uncle's signature on that. Pick another week.
We headed closer to Christmas. Had you completely caused carnage by Christmas of that year?
Obviously, I wasn't bringing the diary to school with me at Christmas because I had a clean run through November and December, but in January, I can give you one.
Right.
The most entertaining one. David did not complete any of his accounting homework. And revision over Christmas. I had better things to be at than accounting homework over Christmas. Thank you very much, miss. There is an extra accounting class every Tuesday. Do you see where this is going?
Right.
Which David did not attend. I am very worried about David and would urge you to speak to him. Forged signature once again.
Okay. We're not condoning the forging of signatures. State that for the record.
Disgraceful behaviour.
Disgraceful.
I should have wrote a note to myself to tell me stop forging signatures.
You see, the thing is, Dave, I know you're a lovely lad. But just from reading those notes, I could just see how your teachers' hearts were broke. They were just trying to do the jobs, do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Dave Duke has no truck with that whatsoever. You divil.
You know what? What's funny was up until junior cert, I was grade A student, genuinely, and I didn't get any recognition or awards. It was the fancy students in school. And you'll know what I'm talking about if you went to this type of school. I came from the country and I was a big bog head and I was going into a tiny school and the Colchies couldn't be getting the awards. It was the mammy and daddies that were brushing noses with the school principal at the weekends having dinners and all the rest. So their children had to get the awards. And after that, I said, fake it, tear away job. I got notes, so I did, but I got no awards. But I do apologise to all the sound teachers that I had, and I was D-I-C-K with a capital D.
The last time, Dave, you remember, we spoke to this man. We were very concerned about breakfast buffets, and we wanted him to put our minds at ease, give us some, what's the word, clarity?
We were so innocent that was their biggest worry on that particular day, was breakfast. It's still important, but there are bigger things at play and at hand.
Yeah, wedding guidelines, of course, they're getting a lot of coverage with the updated guidance from Fáilte Ireland being published. So Dara Cruz is the chair of the Midlands branch of the Irish Hotels Federation and general manager of the Midlands Park Hotel in Portlaoise.
And he talks us through the big three that we learned and already knew this week.
So gatherings of no more than 50, inclusive of staff, so that was already out there, we knew that. We're asking all guests to wear face masks whilst in the public areas and until they reach the table. Drinking up time is up until 11:30, which is in line with the restaurants that are able to operate at the moment. But they're the big three that I see impacting bride and grooms on their day. And as I mentioned earlier, I do believe it gives people the opportunity now to really understand what their day looks like. And if these requirements don't fit into what they hope their day to be, perhaps they now will choose to move their dates out further into maybe 2021 and 2022 to ensure that they can have the day that they hoped.
Dara, not to question the effectiveness of these measures against the spread of coronavirus, but for brides and grooms and guests alike, they're far from ideal. and an Irish wedding only seems to properly get going at around the 11 midnight mark. So what have you heard from the couples that have booked in with you, and what do you expect to happen over the next few months? You speak about 2021, 2022. Do you think that's where a lot of majority of couples will be looking?
I think so. From speaking to the brides and grooms who we're hosting their big day, a number of them are still unsure whether to go ahead this year. They have dates provisionally held, and I really do feel very sorry for them. I can't imagine the stress that they're going through, having to make these various different decisions, having to review their guest list, having to touch back in with their suppliers and bands and photographers, and it's constantly changing for them. So I imagine it's a very stressful time for them. And I know from speaking with brides and grooms during the second phase of lockdown that it is incredibly stressful. I suspect that a number of them will elect to go further out in the year of 2021, and they may say, look, we'll put all this to one side and we'll pick a date in 2021. Hopefully the pandemic will have cleared and we'll have a lot more certainty about what we can do. And as you rightfully said, Irish weddings are great. I've attended many of them and I've had great fun, and the crack from, you know, 10:30 up until the wee hours of the morning are, they're the stuff of legends, and that's what we all look forward to in the future returning to.
You said that these guidelines give more clarity, and while they're not massively changed from what you would have expected or what was already happening anyway, here's what we're looking at. Could I ask you, from your experience, what would you suggest as maybe different guidelines, or guidelines that may be more workable for hotels and couples? Is there anything you'd be looking at in that regard?
Yeah, it's a good question. Obviously, if you look at it through the lens of the commercial element of hotels, the numbers are very restrictive and it's a one-size-fits-all, where, as we know, hotel ballrooms are varying shapes, different and different sizes, and each hotel across the country can accommodate a lot more than 50 people whilst maintaining social distancing. So we would look to push the numbers up and have a specific meter guide as opposed to a cap of 50 people. The wedding business is a 1.5 billion industry, and it's 40,000 people are supported from that. Those jobs are at risk, there's no question about it. And they're probably not at the forefront of our mind. I know my colleagues in the pub industry are also greatly affected by the inability to reopen. But if you think about the photographers, the bands, the people that supply the candy carts, the various different items that are associated with weddings, bridal dresses, retail, they all are having an impact because of the inability to have a more traditional wedding. And with the cap that's on us. So we'd be encouraging the people that are making the directions to relook at the numbers. And I believe the hospitality industry has done a great job since we were able to reopen in July by maintaining the right procedures. The Fulton Ireland COVID safety charter has been fantastic. We've all embraced it. We've responded, in my mind, in the right way as an industry, and I believe that we equally will respond in the right way should we be able to increase the numbers of gatherings in our businesses.
Dara Cruz from the Midlands Park Hotel, and he's also the chair of the Midlands branch of the Irish Hotels Federation. The big three, if you just come in at the tail end of that, the Fáil Ireland issued guidelines, no more than 50 people at the wedding, that includes staff and servers. The masks in the common areas, of course, if you sit down at your table, you're okay. But if you get up or need to go to the toilet or dancing, it's masks on. And also canopies as well is in the mix. There's no shared things of gravy. Canopies all individually sent out. It's an odd time to have a wedding. And as he admitted there himself, a lot of couples will look to push to 2021 and 2022. Because it is so different. And Irish weddings, they're big and they're grand, and they have to be out by 11:30 now.
Whatever side you're on this, if you are a couple saying, we're going to plough on anyway, we just want to get married and let that be that, or whether you're saying, no, I want to have the party, I want to have everyone that's dear to me there, and that's a lot of people, we'd like to hear from you and your decision either way. Also, would be really interested to speak to you if you go ahead with your wedding in the coming weeks or months, and it is under these guidelines, how it works, how you get on with it. Did you still have a lovely day? Because I'm sure you will, because at the end of the day, Dave, isn't it all about love?
That's exactly my sentiments.
That's it.
Never mind the session in the residence bar until 4 o'clock in the morning and pizza hanging off your face. It's about love. Weekdays from 2:50.